There comes a time in every athlete's life where they have to hang him up. Former Knicks Carmelo Anthony is actually on life support right now with his NBA career. It might be time for him to hang him up, but he doesn't want to hang him up. And boy, oh boy, are the Yankees such losers. And this season may have been over, or this season is over, because they didn't acquire the starting pitcher that they needed. Boy, let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants are Jets, Yankees are Mets, Knicks are Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
Hey, yo, B! And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show listeners. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And listeners, also be sure to spread the word to your friends that are big sports fans and let them know that this is the show to listen to, as we give some great opinions and we also have some great knowledge on things that's going on in the sports world. We're also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button if you got any questions that you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer on this show when we have time. You can always shoot them through email to lloyd@pardonmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. Listeners, as always, we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk some Carmelo Anthony, as he feels that he still has something to give to the NBA world. Are NBA teams willing to take a chance, or is his career done in the NBA? We're going to touch up on that. We're going to talk some New York Jets, New York Giants, as their training camp is in the books a week anyway, and they actually have a game this coming Thursday. We're going to talk some Giants and Jets football. We're going to talk some New York Yankees baseball, as they fail to get that starting pitcher that they need, where they still have an opportunity to win the World Series. It's going to be tough, as Houston was the ones that grabbed Zach Greinke from under the Yankees' claws, and Houston is now the team to beat, in my opinion, in American League. We're going to talk that as well, and we're going to talk some New York Knicks basketball, as I'm going to give you reasons as to why, again, that this team has a chance to make the playoffs. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we gotta find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby? Oh, wait, listeners, hold on. I'm gonna try Mad Mike one more time. Let's see if we can get Mad Mike. What's going on? Damn. That's two attempts. No Mad Mike. So guess what it is, listeners? You guys are going to have to put up with listening to my voice. Yes, my voice, for the next hour. So listeners, love it, like it, and let's get it going. All right? Let's start the show off talking Carmelo Anthony, listeners. Carmelo Anthony recently had an interview, or his trainer had an interview, his trainer by the name of Chris Brickley, and he was on the Breakfast Club, and he stated that his client was 100% NBA ready and believes he's better than 70% of the players in the league right now. Now, here's the thing. I agree with his his trainer, and that Carmelo Anthony is better than 70% of the players that are currently donning NBA uniforms. But here's the thing, listeners. Think about this. Unfortunately, someone like myself, who's always been a big Melo supporter, he has seemed to worn out his welcome every place that he has gone. He's worn out his welcome with the New York Knicks. Then the New York Knicks traded him, okay, to Oklahoma City. He wore his welcome in Oklahoma City, was released. He signed with the Houston Rockets. He wore his welcome with the Houston Rockets, got traded. He didn't want to go to the team he was supposed to go to. And that was the end of Melo's era in the NBA. He's tried to latch on with teams. He was hoping to latch on with a team during the playoffs. Nobody rung his phone to bring him in. And unfortunately, I think he still has a lot of talent. No one is ringing his phone to sign with a team right now. Okay? Now, NBA executives, however, do not agree, all right, with Carmelo Anthony's trainer. Here's the thing. Melo is not going to. There was reports that he might play for Team USA this summer. That's not happening. How crazy is it, listeners, that there are a bunch of NBA stars that are dropping out of the FIBA tournament this year for Team USA? No LeBron James, no James Harden, no Steph Curry. A lot of the top-tier guys and now second-tier guys, Kemba Walker, players like that, are not even jumping at the bit to play for Team USA. That's a bit nerve-wracking. European players are getting much better, and USA basketball could be in jeopardy of not winning a championship for the first time in many years, okay? Now, back to Melo, all right? Carmelo Anthony's inner circle, listeners, has had conversations with USA basketball officials about the possibility of him returning to the program to play. And again, that's not happening. As for Anthony's NBA future, listen, he's remaining without a contract after playing just 10 games for the Rockets last season. Like I mentioned, there's no question, all right, that he would like to continue playing. And other stars, such as Damian Lillard for the Portland Trailblazers, have come out to his support. But unfortunately, Damian Lillard may have come out to his support, but that's not good enough to get him a contract on the Portland Trailblazers, because Melo at this point seems to mess up chemistry. All right? He seems to mess up the chemistry on basketball teams. And at this point, however, it's getting harder and harder to envision a scenario where Carmelo Anthony makes sense. All right, according to reports, the Lakers previously discussed the idea of signing Anthony, but they're unlikely to do so now. Likewise, the New York Knicks may have had interest in Anthony if they were able to secure two high-profile stars this summer in free agency, and that didn't happen. Then there was reports that his trainer came out and said Carmelo Anthony wants a farewell tour, like Dwayne Wade had. And then Stephen A. Smith came on his show, and Stephen A. Smith said that Carmelo Anthony is not deserving of a farewell tour because what has he done? He hasn't won a championship. And Stephen A. feels that players that have won championships are players that are deserving of those types of accolades. All right, now, I don't necessarily think that you have to win a championship to be acknowledged as a special player. Carmelo Anthony, at one point, was one of the top 10 players in the NBA. And I still think he can arguably be one of the top 50 players, greatest players to ever play this game. I wouldn't put him in my top 50, but some people might put him in their top 50. Okay? Now, meanwhile, if the Knicks had acquired, let's say, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they might have taken a shot on Carmelo Anthony. But looking elsewhere, you know, they're thinking Big Three. Listen, no knock on the Big Three and no knock on the players that are playing in the Big Three. I think that would be an insult to Carmelo Anthony if Carmelo Anthony signed up to play in the Big Three. Just my opinion right now. Okay, and then there's reports that he might just sign a one-day contract with the Knicks and retire. But it's always tough, listeners, to see a star player's career come to an end, especially in this manner. Especially in this manner. But still, even if it's somewhat depressing or somewhat of a depressing spectacle, all right, it will be fascinating to see what happens with Anthony's career over the next few months. He's still working out. He's still staying sharp. You never know. Maybe a team might take a flyer on him. He was also on Stephen A. Smith's show, and he spoke about his issues with Houston, where he was saying he didn't know what was going on. Nobody really spoke to him about coming off the bench, and that he may have been willing to come off the bench. So to speak, he got on the show to clear his name and to clear the air. I don't think that's good enough, listeners. I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough. We could have very well possibly seen the end of Carmelo Anthony in an NBA uniform. And it's sad because he's a hell of a ball player. He's a hell of a ball player, hell of a talent. But like me and Mad Mike have said in the past, listen, the older you get, your skills start to deteriorate. That's just how life goes. And I don't think when that started happening to him that he ever adapted to that happening. He still tried to play like 23-year-old Melo, 24-year-old Melo. Nah, you can't play that way. You can't play that way. You have to play like you're 30-plus-year-old Melo. Get in where you fit in at this point in your career. Go to a team. Fit into what they're doing. Do whatever is necessary to win basketball games, and that's what keeps your longevity in the NBA. Players that have had long longevity NBA careers, that's exactly what they have done towards the tail end of their career. They have gone to multiple places and gotten in where they fit in. And that's what's kept them around. So we'll see what happens. Look, I would love to see Carmelo Anthony in a basketball uniform this year, and there's still a chance that he could be in a basketball uniform this year. But there's also a chance that he may not. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys posted with that. But let's move forward to the New York Knickerbockers. Okay? And although the New York Knicks have struck out on free agency gold, they are still in a much better position than they were last season, listeners. Hear me and hear me good. I'm going to repeat that. The New York Knicks are in a much better position than they were a year ago. All right? First, let me begin by starting that the offseason has been anything but underwhelming. All right? Most of their acquisitions this summer involve surprising names such as Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Elfrid Payton, Marcus Morris, and even Taj Gibson, all right? And while these players may not seem like they have been found in a free agency gold mine, in my opinion, listeners, these players embody the spirit of New York basketball. Each of them, all right, each of these players, they play with grit and aggressiveness. Two qualities that are highly coveted by any team. What basketball team wouldn't want those two qualities in a player that's on their roster, okay? Furthermore, one position that should be discussed this upcoming season for the New York Knicks is point guard, okay? Point guard. They went and they tried to sign Kyrie Irving. He wanted no parts of the New York Knicks. Okay, so we have Elfrid Payton. And Elfrid Payton at some point should become the Knicks' next starting point guard. All right? Due to his previous experience playing with Julius Randle and his all-around game, Payton, in my opinion, would fit perfectly in a starting lineup next season. All right? Now, he had a former teammate by the name of Aaron Gordon in Orlando. And Aaron Gordon was quoted as saying that he firmly believes that he's a point guard. And also quoted that he's tough as nails, so he's not going to get rattled. And that's coming from a solid NBA basketball player that was his teammate in Orlando. And that is exactly the same quality these newcomers possess, thus making the Knicks a more difficult team to defeat next season, listeners. Of course. All right, the New York Knicks will not become a powerhouse in the NBA next season. We all know that. We all know that. But their offseason moves, okay, give them more flexibility within the next 2 years to either take another shot in free agency, resign these players, or utilize them as bargaining chips for trades. Jot that down in your notebook. I'm giving you guys gold. I'm giving you gold right now. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying, listeners. Knick fans, listen to what I'm saying. Disgruntled Knick fans. Knick fans that think that this offseason was a failure. Listen to what I'm saying. All of these offseason moves give them more flexibility in the next 2 years to either take a shot at the free agency pool, which is going to be big in 2021. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard to be a free agent again. Anthony Davis can possibly be a free agent. LeBron James would be a free agent. Now, I don't think any of these guys are going to come to New York. I don't think New York is going to strike it rich with a big-ticket free agent. I can't see that happening, especially after what happened this past offseason. In my mind, as a Knicks fan, and in my mind, I just think that it's not going to happen. And the Knicks are always going to be having to go after second-tier players in the NBA. Okay, that's just my opinion. Just my opinion. All right, now, let's get... There's no way a team could retool a roster with several tough and talented individuals who relish, all these guys relish the opportunity to play in New York. They want to be here. That's another key. They want to be here. You want players to come to your organization, especially New York. It's one of the toughest organizations to play for. You want them to want to be here. All right? And not only that, will these players settle for an abysmal regular season? But, okay, in comparison to how other teams in the Eastern Conference performed this offseason, it is fair to say that the Charlotte Hornets, the Detroit, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Washington Wizards have all digressed roster-wise, in my opinion. The opportunity to surpass those teams. Those are playoff teams, listeners. Outside of Cleveland and Washington, Detroit made the playoffs. I think that the Knicks can possibly surpass those guys. Look, we all know the powerhouse, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Toronto. Okay? But then after that, to me, everybody is a bubble. Miami, Brooklyn, Indiana, Detroit. I mean, am I naming some teams where you could honestly sit here and say that they're head and shoulders a playoff lot? Can't say that. Can't say that. And look, the Knicks roster may arguably look better on paper than the Chicago Bulls, the Orlando Magic, and the Atlanta Hawks, who I think is a much better team. These teams have more experience playing together and several young stars to stand their ground next season. I think Atlanta's going to be a very good team. Very good team. And I also think the Knicks offseason acquisitions, in addition to third round overall pick R.J. Barrett, automatically place the Knicks in a comfortable position to finish at least 11th in the Eastern Conference next season. We've seen a team win 30 games, almost make the playoffs, and end up with the number one pick. And this roster looks decent on paper, with many players who are tough, durable, and possess the talent to take this young team to the next level. I know I was one of those guys that were that was disappointed. All right, but after really thinking, after really going over things, again, listeners, I really think that this team can make the playoffs. They struck out, let's face it, they struck out on free agency top players. But I'll say this team walked out with a chunk of the players available on the open market, giving it cap space and roster room to make changes this year. There was $70 million, listeners, to spend, and the Knicks used it on the seven players that I mentioned. And free agency is settled now, especially with August underway. The Knicks changes are not set. And the fans have reasons to appreciate the moves, at least I hope they do, which is why I'm spitting this knowledge to you. Appreciate the moves that the Knicks have made for this upcoming campaign. This roster is already more talented than the previous roster, okay? Last season was a miserable season for the New York Knicks. Okay, you could say sure was expected after the team called it a developmental year last year. But it became an historically bad run for them. They had an 18-game losing streak and finished with a 17-65 record. And that tied the 2014-2015 team for a franchise low. And as a result of all of New York's pending free agents, all right, DeAndre Jordan left, Emmanuel Mudiay left, John Jenkins left, Lance Thomas, Luke Kornet, Mario Hezonja, Noah Vonleh, E. Garrett. All those players are no longer team. They either left for all the destinations or they remain free agents. And while those players bring their own skill set, the Knicks found more experience and talented upgrades. Okay? Listen to those names that I just spit out to you, listeners. Listen to them. Do I need to repeat? Well, if you don't want me to repeat, I'm going to repeat it again just in case you missed it the first time around. All right? E. Garrett, DeAndre Jordan, Emmanuel Mudiay, Henry Ellison, John Jenkins, Lance Thomas, Luke Kornet, Mario Hezonja, and Noah Vonleh. Those are the guys that left, okay? And we're replacing them. Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Wayne Ellington, Elfrid Payton, Marcus Morris. These are more well-rounded offensive players. And Gibson is a steady backup who has playoff experience. And again, he wants to be here. He wants to be here. I think the backcourt is bulked up by adding Wayne Ellington and Elfrid Payton. And they have either starting experience, or these guys are NBA veterans of different situations. And I think Marcus Morris was a bonus for the Knicks after he reneged with the San Antonio Spurs. I was surprised he reneged with the San Antonio Spurs. I was surprised he signed with the New York Knicks. And then you heard the reports that he fired his agent, Rich Paul, who represents LeBron James. Over a $41 million deal that he turned down that was offered to him by the Clippers because he was told that he could get more money and ended up not getting anything and settling for a one-year $15 million deal with the New York Knicks. Now, this could work out to his benefit, listeners. He'll be a free agent after this year. If he has a great season, he may have paid himself into more money. And I think that Marcus Morris handles most front court spots well, and he has a game tailored to the modern day NBA big man. And to me, together, these pieces should bring New York above their dreaded record last year. Okay? Now, listeners, I'm not talking championship. It may not position him for the postseason, but playing more competitive basketball will go a long way towards establishing a culture that sheds negative light of recent years with this organization. This organization has been cursed. Bad move after bad signing after bad signing, bad trade after bad trade. For the first time in a long time, things are being done the right way. And the one thing that I was hoping was that if the Knicks struck out on Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard and top-tier free agents, that they didn't give players like Julius Randle max deals. Every contract that they handed out, they have control of. All of them were 2 years, except for Randle, who gets a 3-year deal, and the Knicks have the option to let him go after the second year. So the Knicks in 2021, which is the next big free agency class, like I mentioned, they'll be in prime position to land two top-tier players again. In a past regime, that would never have happened. That would never have happened, listeners. Let's face it. So you got to give this team so credit. Let's also talk about they have players now who can stretch the floor. This team shot just 34% from behind the arc last season. And that placed in the bottom five of the NBA. Other teams were more proficient shooters, most of which made the postseason, all right? And these teams found deeper runs into May and June. And this was already a weak shooting team before Kristaps Porzingis, before the Porzingis trade, which sent out Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr., both whom were consistent contributors. So after it happened, the team brought them out from behind the arc. But this team has found players who stretch the floor. All right? Let me break it down for you, listeners. Bobby Portis, he shot 39.3% from behind the arc. Reggie Bullock shot 37.7% from behind the arc. Marcus Morris shot 37.5% from behind the arc. Rain Ellington shot 37.1% from behind the arc. And Julius Randle shot 34.4% from the arc, okay? Will this make New York proficient on three-pointers? Maybe not. But they should find more consistency and be able to modernize their playing style. And I think that these players help in both the backcourt and the frontcourt. So the front office addressed not just one part of the roster. Granted, Bullock might miss a chunk of the season due to injury, but he developed into a sneaky good shooter over the past 3 years, all right? Making 40.3% of his long-range attempt. And if that continues, whenever he returns, it marks another backcourt upgrade, listeners. All right, listen, plus, the Knicks have few three-pointer shooters remaining on their roster. And Barron and Brazikas, you know, repetitive impacts are unknown. Brazikas look good in summer league. All right, but sometimes you can look good in the summer league against players that are not going to make NBA rosters for the most part. And then you get an NBA and look like a completely different player. A completely different player. I also think that this team has lineup flexibility for Coach David Fizdale. All right? That last season started New York Knicks, it was positionless basketball, listeners. With players not being locked into one spot of the lineup, this actually allows them to move around and tinker with different groups. All right, listen, Fizdale arguably did this early in the season when Frank Ntilikina role varied from the middle of the lineup to playing point guard Mario Hezonja. He bounced around, including playing pop point forward down the stretch. Otherwise, it was hard to create flexibility for a group that struggled to win games. Now, this is his second go-around And he has these flexible pieces. And some of them are actually returning to the team. Kevin Knox is the closest piece to this from last season. And especially with the abundance of forwards added, okay, this sets him to play either spot opposite of center. Listen, Marcus Morris can handle both forward spots. He has a 6'9 frame to play an undersized center. He did this for Boston, listeners, over the past 2 years. And now this transitions to playing alongside Mitchell Robinson in certain situations. And Julius Randle, he was always your classic power forward, but his developmental game should let Fizdale swing him between that position and center as well. And Bobby Porter's size and ability to shoot the ball allows a similar scenario. And if the Knicks ever have Bullock in his 6'7" frame, he can work either the shooting guard or small forward. And the same for RJ Barrett. Now, it's still 2 months to go, so we don't know what Fizdale's plans are. But on paper, I believe that Coach Fizdale has pieces to move the lineup around and consistently try something differently with these players. Now, like I was saying, let's talk about the flexibility of the Knicks' future, all right? And looking ahead, it's prevalent in the NBA. 2019 free agency became a topic just weeks into last season. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard's respective statuses discussed. This lingered no matter how well the teams played and hovered over Leonard's title run with the Toronto Raptors. It was a fact. All that hovered over Kevin Durant's play, as you've seen him lash out to the media every now and then. But with the New York Knicks, they set themselves up for future free agent periods with contracts that they gave out. All contracts, like I said, listeners, and sometimes I have to repeat myself, all right? All contracts that were handed out in free agency besides Randle's can leave the book after the 2019-2020 season. And whether team options, a minuscule, partial guarantees, Marcus Morris has no 2020-2021 contractual commitment at all. The Knicks may remove them from the payroll for little cost in 2020. If not then, the Knicks can let them walk, all walk, after 2021, including Randle, and become players in another star-studded free agency class. Listeners, there's still too many games to plan out before free agency becomes a conversation, and the 2020 has a weaker class than 2019. So this may pause the superstar chasing until 2021, which is when I think the Knicks should start chasing again. And all of these salaries can or will expire. But for now, the Knicks have their team to focus on right now and try to appeal future players that want to play at Madison Square Garden rather than their crosstown rivals. And once they produce quality on-court product, then the future can receive a bigger spotlight, in my opinion, listeners. All right? Now, before we go to a commercial break, all right, I want to talk NBA playoffs with the New York Knicks. And I say that I believe that the Knicks are going to make the playoffs. All right? And while more of a question than a reason to love what the New York Knicks did this offseason, they have the talent to play competitively, I'm sorry, listeners, this upcoming season. They have players with postseason experience. Most of them represent upgrades over who was in place for the previous season. So I believe that this group can take the Knicks to the playoffs. I do believe that. I also believe that they will win more than 17 games. And the Eastern Conference is weak. Me and the Mad Mike say this to you all the time. They are in a weak Eastern Conference. They have a shot. Is it enough to take them out of 30th place among 30th NBA teams? I think so. I think it's also good enough to put them in a playoff spot. I really do. And around the Knicks, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Bucks, the 76ers, the Nets, all these are locks for the, you know, some people think that those are locks for the playoffs. Okay? Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, 76ers, Brooklyn Nets. That's five teams. Three more spots available. And depending on Victor Oladipo's health, the Indiana Pacers may join them. All right? And let's just say Indiana is in that mix. I think they're one of those bubble teams that creates a battle for 7th and 8th seed in a conference with Jimmy Butler on the Miami Heat, just Jimmy Butler. The rising Chicago Bulls, the Orlando Magic, the Detroit Pistons to compete around. And yes, I do think the Knicks will be good enough to beat those teams or to get that 7th seed or 8th seed. Listen. That's going to be a tough wall for New York to break. And all these teams either just made the playoffs or have the pieces to make it competitive. But I do think the Knicks are surprise teams, surprise fans, and take a step forward. Okay? But listen, this Defers team again is superior to last season's team, listeners. All right, we may have struck out on top-tier free agents, but then you want to go back and look and say, is this team better than last year's team? And yes, it is. Yes, it is. And while they have opponents to contest and move past, all right, these new players are potential improvements for the team. Young pieces could make them a team to follow from October to April, listeners. Whew. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. But look, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk some NFL football as the New York Jets signed them a Pro Bowl center. We're going to talk some New York Yankees as they struck out on getting that starting pitcher that I felt they need to get to the World Series. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, the first half of the show, you had to sit there and listen to my big mouth for the first half of the show. And guess what? You're going to have to sit here and listen to my big mouth for the second half of the show. And like I said, love it and like it. But this is what it is. And I'm happy to be here with you today. We miss Mad Mike. Hopefully we get Mad Mike next week. We'll see what happens. But let's talk some NFL football. And let's talk about Mad Mike's team, the New York Jets, who signed a five-time Pro Bowler by the name of Ryan Khalil, who recently retired. And Ryan Khalil figured it was time after the 2017 season to hang up the cleats. All right, the All-Pro center was coming off consecutive seasons in which he had dealt with a major injury. He had 1 year left on his contract. He felt like he was slowing down. And Khalil decided that 2018 would be his final year in the NFL, and he would retire. After 12 seasons with the Carolina Panthers. And after 3 months of retirement, though, Khalil began to start having regrets, according to him. He said he was living a beach life in California, which I wish I can live that life. Sounds interesting. He started lifting weights again, and he felt the itch to put back on an NFL uniform. He was also quoted, listeners, by saying he had a hard time moving on. He had a hard time turning the page. And he feels that most players go through this. But especially coming off 2018 healthy, feeling great, feeling youthful, so to speak, He said he just felt like he had more football left in him. That benefits the Jets. Listen, this is a solid football team, listeners. The Jets are a solid football team. Their weakness is on the offensive side of the ball, and now you add him to the offensive line, which might be the biggest weakness on this team. And the Jets hope that Ryan Khalil is right. Officially, he signed with the Jets on Saturday after passing a physical and in his brief retirement. All right, he's 34 years old. He believes he can help the Jets win. He can help them win some football games. He can make them winners. And the team's leadership is confident he will have a major impact on the field and in the locker room. That's another key. That's what you want. Those are the type of guys that you want to bring into a situation, an environment of any team. Whether it's on a professional level, the college level, whatever the case may be, you want high character guys. Those are the guys that you want. High character guys that can play the game. Okay? And Ryan Khalil is a guy, in my opinion, who checks all of those boxes. I believe that he's smart. I think that he's tough. He's a highly decorated player. And as good as he is on the field, he's even a better teammate. And the Jets GM, Joe Douglas, said that he first began talking to Khalil or Khalil's agent by the name of Tom Condon just before training camp. You got to give props to Douglas for reaching out, because no team did it. But he reached out. And he later spoke to Khalil directly. And the two hit it off. And Khalil said that he was sold on Douglas' vision for the Jets. And the two sides began hammering out a contract. And they reached an agreement on Thursday. A one-year incentive-filled deal. Now, Ryan Khalil decides that he wants to continue to play in the NFL. And he has an excellent season, which is the case if you go by proven history. He may be playing himself into a big contract as well. Okay? Love the signing. Love the signing. Khalil said that he reached out to some former coaches and teammates with Carolina, including Ron Rivera, Jake Delhomme, Greg Olsen, to see what they thought. And he also checked in with former Jets center Nick Mangold, whom the team, you know, had been struggling to replace since 2016. They never found the replacement for Nick Mangold. So he did his homework. And the Jets are still formulating a plan for Khalil to get ready. They want to, you would think that they would want to ease him in. After losing 30 pounds of retirement, he's regained the weight, and now he's weighing at 297. He came in at 297. He feels that he's in good shape physically, but he also feels that it'll take him a little while to get back into football shape. Let's face it, listeners, Khalil has not had on pads since the end of last season. The Jets and myself, and I'm sure Mad Mike, if he was here, he would agree that they believe that Khalil can really help second-year quarterback Sam Darnold. That's key. It's key to have a big-time center snapping the ball to a young quarterback. And these two know each other a little because both went to USC. And it's just him, Douglas. He remembered how much center Matt Burke helped the young Joe Flacco with the Ravens when Douglas was a scout there. And Khalil was quoted as saying that several people told him last year he should keep playing, and that's always been in his head. So he wasn't really ready to retire, even though he did retire. Listen, when you've been doing something your whole entire life, it's tough to walk away from it. It's tough to walk away from it. And Khalil said he's been playing football since the age of 8. Me being an athlete myself, I know how hard it is to say you're done and walk away. I know how hard it is. I played semi-pro football for 10 years. And after my 10th year, it was so hard to walk away. And for the next 3 years, I pondered going back to playing again. That's how much I missed it. Even after suffering multiple concussions, I still wanted to go back and play. And if it wasn't for my knees not agreeing with that happening, that was the only reason why I didn't go back to play. Listen to me. Listen, I'm talking about I've suffered numerous concussions, and that wasn't enough to keep me away. If my knees was in good shape, I would have been right back on that damn football field. Right back on it. So I get that. Big time signing by the New York Jets. Got to give Joe Douglas some props on this. Got to. This could be a playoff football team, listeners. It really could be. Their defense is stout. I think their offense is much better than last year. And now you're signing a 5-time Pro Bowler to anchor your offensive line? And the Jets still have money to sign players. They still have money under the cap to sign players. So let's see what they do moving forward, but they're moving in the right direction. Right direction. I like what I'm seeing for the New York Jets. Now let's talk about the New York Football Giants. And if the Giants did not have an open quarterback competition to start camp, Eli Manning somehow has managed to close the door on it just in 2 weeks. And that's not a knock on rookie Daniel Jones, who has looked really good in camp, according to reports. But it's rather a reflection of just how dominant Manning has been so far, according to reports, in training camp. And there's also reports that he spent time in the offseason working out with a baseball trainer. You know, he's returned in 2019 in noticeably good shape. And a stronger arm. Okay? And me being a baseball player as well, that was a smart move from him. Smart move. And listen, some may argue that Manning's arm isn't capable of getting stronger at this age. But don't tell that to him. Don't tell that to his teammates. And don't tell that to his coaches. All of them feel that it looks really good. And that he's been slinging the ball around a lot. And there's a lot of velocity. And he still has his touch. I went to training camp, all right? And I saw Eli. Listen, he was making great throws. He's been making great throws for years. This is why I say Odell Beckham did all that ya. Who threw you the damn ball the entire time you was in New York? This goes back to Peyton Manning making careers, Tom Brady making careers of receivers, along with some other top-tier quarterbacks. Eli Manning helped Odell Beckham Jr. get to the stardom that he has. Whether or not you want to agree with me or not, in my opinion, yes, he has. You got to have somebody to throw you the damn ball. All those 1,000-yard seasons that Odell Beckham Jr. amassed while he was in a New York Giants uniform, Eli Manning threw him the damn ball. He threw him the damn ball. And Manning has been particularly strong with his underneath passes and intermediate. And that seems that that's just going to be with the offense, what the Giants offense is going to be this season. Short passes, intermediate passes, maybe they're going to take a shot down the field. They're being hammered with injuries to their receiving core. Hammered. But either way, thus far during training camp, Eli Manning's struggles have been so minimal that they're not noteworthy. And let's talk about Daniel Jones for a second, listeners. He's had his ups and downs, expected ups and downs of a rookie in his first training camp, but his highs have been extremely high. While his lows have been a bit of the usual variety. Ironically, the one area in which Daniel Jones has specifically thrived is the only area which Eli Manning has struggled. And that's throwing the ball down the field, which wasn't supposed to be one of Daniel Jones' strong qualities or strong abilities as a quarterback. And Daniel Jones, he's shown a completely fearless approach to uncorking bombs of 50 yards down the field. I was at training camp. I saw it, listeners. And his teammates think highly of him. But beyond that, Jones has been dropping these passes on a dime and receiving rave reviews as a result of it. And running back Paul Perkins, you know, was on the receiving end of an impressive 50-yard bomb that he threw, said the reception was the single greatest pass that he's ever caught. Now, he could be saying ha caca. He could be. He could be blowing a little bit of smoke up somebody's rear end. But this is what he said. And Russell Shepard also said that Jones throws the best deep ball he's ever seen. Now, we're not talking about Antonio Brown. We're not talking about Odell Beckham Jr., A.J. Green, Julio Jones. So maybe that might be a little bit more valid if it's coming from those types of receivers. But when you get praise of any sort, that's a good thing. At least it is in my opinion. And let's talk about Corey Ballantyne, all right? This young man is having a good camp. And the Giants added three talented young defensive backs in this year's draft. DeAndre Baker, Julian Love. They received the bulk of the attention thus far. But, however, that may be poised to change after week two. And this is after a week of Ballantyne as a young rookie who was overcoming a horrific shooting that took the life of his best friend, Dwayne Simmons. It's tough for a young man to go through. It could have been him. It's tough. And thus far in camp, Daniel Jones has been picked off just twice. Each of those have been by Ballantyne, who made a beautiful play on a well-thrown ball in Saturday's afternoon practice. And he also added several pass breakups as well to go along with his touchdown-saving goal line tackle with wide receiver T.J. Jones. And Ballantyne, you know, obviously you got to have confidence, you got to have swag. He gives props to the other guys in the room, in the classroom, which is an important part of being a good football player. The important part of being a great football player. Gotta learn. But injuries remain a very real problem for this team, listeners. And the Giants found themselves quite banged up over the first week of camp. They lost most of their wide receiving depth due to injury. The bug also touched a couple of other groups on his team. And the hope was that just week one, the rust is being knocked off. The injury bug is not happening. But the injury bug is consistently sticking with this team. Cornerback Grant Haley went down with a shoulder injury. Rookie linebacker Mark McLaren was placed on injury reserve with a broken foot. Offensive lineman George Asafo Ajayi remained sidelined with the concussion. Cornerback Sam Bill, who will address, I'm going to talk more about Sam Bill, okay? I keep on saying, whoa, like Mad Mike is here. Meanwhile, hand down, man down. I'm manning the show, baby. That's how we rolling. But we're going to talk some Sam Bill. He can't stay on the field. In total, 9 players were sidelined for Saturday's practice. And that doesn't even include wide receiver Sterling Shepard, who's working his way back from a fractured thumb. Darius Slayton dealing with a hamstring injury. I just think the Sam Bill, listeners, is falling too far behind. He missed his entire rookie season after suffering a shoulder injury. He returned to start 2019 with a clear mind and a motivation to earn a starting job. And for a brief moment this spring, he flashed and provided the team optimism, if nothing else. Okay? He was supposed to battle for a starting spot and find a way to produce at a quality clip this offseason. And I know Mad Mike has mentioned Jack Rabbit being cut by the Giants and being signed by the Jets. I don't know if the Giants are going to get rid of Jack Rabbit. I don't know. Sam Bill, he got injured again. He was on the field only briefly. This hurts. This hurts his growth as an NFL cornerback. He's dealing with a groin hamstring issue now. He did manage to take part in individual drills on Tuesday, but that would be about it. And he ended the week again on a sideline, and there's no clear timetable for his return. And then you have DeAndre Baker. With DeAndre Baker, Julian Love, Corey Ballantyne all playing exceptionally well, Bill is falling so far behind that he may not be able to catch up, may not be able to see the field. I will say, listeners, that the suspension of Golden Tate is going to hurt this team. Losing a veteran receiver of Golden Tate caliber for the first quarter of the season is going to hurt. And that's the most obvious statement that could be made. He works well with Manning. And just after 2 weeks, it's important to note just how devastating this suspension could be. Golden Tate has lit up every single summer practice thus far, showing an incredible ability, listeners, to find cracks in the defense, settle in the open spots for Manning to make a clear throw to him. Beyond that, Tate has put his good hand and yak ability on display. One of the best of yak, which is yards after catch, listeners, when he puts his hand on the ball. Dominating in an intermediate game and creating opportunities for other players. And Manning and Tate look like a veteran duo that have appeared in 100-plus games together. Listen, Tate ability fits what Eli Manning is all about. Short intermediate, 5-yard passes turns into 8-yard passes. 5-yard passes turns into 12-yard passes. And losing that outlet and security blanket is going to be extremely detrimental early for this team. Now, the Giants offensive line is going old school. And if you banked on Mike Remmers and Kevin Zietler having an immediate impact on the Giants offensive line, congratulations, you hit the nail right on the damn head. Because I believe that the sudden influx of veteran knowledge and leadership has rapidly reshaped the attitude of this offensive line. And in addition to being improved communication, and that's thankful to the years and years of experience. Look at the offensive line they had last year. They had a rookie playing a tackle. And then you throw in Will Hernandez and Nate Solder. This offensive line, I don't care what anybody says, this offensive line is much better than last year's. Much better than last year's. And this offensive line has been putting in extra work. And it's already showing as far as mentality goes on the field. This is no longer a group of players uncertain about their potential and their ability to play alongside each other, listeners. This is a group, all right? A pack of men that are gritty, angry, and old school. Gotta love that in the offense. Gotta love those qualities in the offensive lineman. And in regards to what happens at center between John Jalapio and Spencer Pulley, this is a group thriving on continuity and communication. And I believe that there's little doubt, all right, there will be much more product than any Giants that the offensive line has had in the past in the last recent. I've been saying this. This offensive line is better. Offensive line is better. B.J. Goodson. All right, moving on to the defensive side of the ball. B.J. Goodson could be on the bubble. All right, he entered camp as a presumed starter alongside Alec Ogletree. But because Tate Davis and rookie Ryan Conley have played so well, Goodson is no longer shooing. He could be on the bubble. Moreover, listeners, Goodson has been hindered by a hamstring injury. And when you're not able to be on the field, there's always somebody that's going to take advantage of their opportunity to be on the field. And while that hamstring injury is not considered a major issue, it's putting him further behind the eight ball, listeners. He's been taking snaps with the third team defense. And that's not a ringing endorsement sign. For B.J. Goodson and other Giants. Did anybody forget about Coley Latimer? Coley Latimer, the receiver that came from the Denver Broncos that the Giants signed and he was hurt most of last year. Yeah, he's still on the roster. He's a forgotten man. Again, injuries will create opportunities. And he's taking advantage of that thus far in camp. And not only thus far in camp has Latimer become a favorite target of Eli Manning, but he stepped up in the locker room and has been leading the younger players, tapping into his early career mistakes as an example of what not to do. And in addition to an increase offensive role in his locker room leadership. Listen, Latimer has also become a key on special teams following the loss of a return man, Corey Coleman, who tore his ACL. All right, I think that the Jets are in a better position than the Giants are right now. I don't think the Giants are a playoff team. I think the Jets are a playoff team. But then again, you never know. The Giants have an uphill climb, uphill battle in front of them. They do. You know, not having Golden Tate is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But we'll touch up. Listen, next week's show, we're going to talk to preseason football is kicking off. So we're going to talk some Jets versus Giants and some other things as well. But before I close the show out, listeners, I got to talk about the New York Yankees. All right? I feel that the New York Yankees botched the deadline Overall, the trade deadline, they botched it. Botched it. The deadline. You know what? I'm at a loss of words, man. I'm at a loss of words. We saw Marcus Stroman go to the Mets. Trevor Bauer go to the Cincinnati Reds. Zach Greinke go to the Houston Astros. So now the Houston Astros have a three-headed monster. And even in a strange trade season, I saw a few contenders. Listen, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Twins, none of those teams made any deals. None of those teams made any deals. The Red Sox, I mean, they got Andrew Cashner from Baltimore, but that's not a significant deal as the Yankees have beat up on the Red Sox in this four-game series. And there's no August waiver deadline to fall back on. And the Yankees and the other contenders, they got to live with what they have, listeners. They got to. Got to live with what they have. Is it enough? I necessarily don't think so. I necessarily don't think so. Remember, listeners, sometimes the biggest deals don't end up being the most important. Nathan Eovaldi and Steve Pearce for the 2018 champion Red Sox. But I just think the Houston Astros, in a move that broke in the minutes immediately after the 4 p.m. deadline, they acquired Zach Greinke. And that's the blockbuster deal that made all the weeks of rumors and speculation worth the wait. Now, the Houston Astros have a rotation of Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Greinke, and Wade Miley for the postseason. Plus, they have one of the best bullpens. They also acquired Joe Bieghini and Aaron Sanchez from the Blue Jays. I'm going to give them the consensus to win the World Series, and I'm a diehard Yankee fan. And you can say many front offices are afraid of making a mistake and dealing a prospect who may become a star. If you're in a win-now mode, that's what the hell you got to do. That's what you got to do. You have to give up young talent to get talent if you're trying to win a championship. Win now. This Yankee team is in win now mode. And Brian Cashman did nothing to solidify that. So you're going to get into a 5-game series, a 7-game series, and you're going to have to face tough pitchers. And the Yankee starters have been up and down all season long, more so down and up. And as this Greinke deal was announced to Yankees and Dodgers fans, I had a meltdown. I did. I lost my rocket. I don't want to say rocket. I wanted to say a curse word, but I'm going to say rocket. I lost my rocket. I don't know if that makes any damn sense, but it's going to make sense right now, listeners. Damn it. Tough. It's not easy being a fan of big market teams. The Yankees didn't do anything. They didn't do anything at all. They didn't do anything all month after acquiring Edwin Encarnacion in June. Nothing. For the second time in 2 seasons, another GM outdoed Brian Cashman. Okay. Greinke had a no-trade clause, all right, to 15 teams, and one of those teams were the Yankees. And there's reports that says he never would have approved a trade to New York. So we can let Cashman slide on that. I'm okay with not bashing him for not getting Greinke, somebody who probably didn't want to be here. Marcus Stroman wanted to be here. But then again, it might be fair to bash the front office and by extension ownership for not adding a starter like Robbie Ray or even a reliever. And the rotation has been a free fall, listeners, since April. This is a good team, but the Astros won the trade deadline. Sweepstakes. And Justice Verlander beat them twice in the 2017 American League Championship Series. You have to wonder if Zach Greinke is going to haunt the Yankees in October. Have to wonder. And this team is just hammered with injuries, listeners. Hammered. Edwin Encarnacion, fractured wrist. You're not coming back in 10 days from a fractured wrist. I don't get why Major League Baseball teams say put players on a 10-day to say he has a fractured damn wrist. Fractures take longer to heal than breaks. They say you're better off breaking your bone and fracturing it. So when the hell is he coming back in 10 days? The good thing is he might be back a month before the season ends, so he'll have a month to get himself ready for the playoffs. CeCe Sabathia is dealing with an injury. Luke Voigt, sports hernia. Aaron Hicks hurt his arm throwing a ball from the outfield to third base. Lord knows when Giancarlo Stanton is coming back. Don't even know when Gary Sanchez is coming back. So the Knicks are back to, I'm sorry, listeners. Holy crap. The Yankees are back to playing with AAA players again. I thought it was a good thing that they was playing with AAA players, minor league ball players, because they was able to use those guys to get some major league quality starting pitching. I really want to know what was going on with Cashman where he felt that he couldn't get a deal done. Because there's no way in the world you can tell me that the two prospects that the Mets traded for Marcus Stroman, that the Yankees don't have better prospects in their farm system than those two players that the Mets gave up. I refuse to believe that. And maybe it could be the case that because baseball knew that the Yankees needed starting pitching real badly, maybe the bar was raised more so for them than any other team. But even if that's the case, you still have to get something done because this starting rotation is the weak spot for this team. You can't always go out and score 15 runs a game, 9 runs a game. Not going to happen. Good pitching beats good hitting any day of the week. I'll say it one more time. Good pitching beats good hitting any day of the week. And Houston has that. Houston has that. And it's inevitable at some point, if the Yankees make it that far, I think there's a chance that they may not make it that far to the American League Championship Series. That's what they're going to have to face. They're going to have to face the three-headed monster. And I don't think the Yankees could deal with that. I don't. Listen, Masahiro Tanaka, he has a tendency of showing up big come playoff time. Jay Happ has been awful. He was awful in last year's playoffs. James Paxton, he hasn't been in the play. He hasn't pitched in the playoffs. That was a guy that they thought when they traded for him, he was going to come in and he was going to be the bologna to Luis Severino cheese, the peanut butter to Luis Severino's jelly. And Luis Severino is hurt, and you figured he would be that top dog, and he really hasn't been. Really hasn't been. So we'll see what happens as far as that goes. There will be no rant for the week as Mad Mike, hopefully he's okay. Got to find out where he is. Listen, where's Mad Mike? It's like finding where's Waldo? Where's Mad Mike at? Hopefully we'll get him next week. Hopefully we'll get that rant next week. But listeners, I want to thank you for sticking with me today. I want to thank you for putting up with me for the hour. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed giving you my vast knowledge and expertise on what's going on in the sports world. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. I don't know if Ayo is drinking some coffee. It's type hot for coffee, but he just might be. Have a safe and blessed week. And me and Mad Mike, I'll see you in 7 days. So Ayo, let's roll, baby.
The only way to keep the caffeine pumping in weather like this is iced coffee. So that's what I'm doing right now. Beautiful Monday morning. Shouts to Lloyd for holding it down on the solo tip for this episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson, the Mad Mike Sports Show. Sending love and a shout out to Mad Mike wherever he at. Lots going on. Appreciate all the listeners for checking out the show. For everybody subscribed, thank you. And if you're not, you can subscribe to the podcast everywhere the podcasts are available, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So be sure to do that. Brand new episodes drop every Monday. You head over to LloydAThompson.com. You can find all of the places to subscribe. And you can also send a question to be answered on the future episode of the show. And if you're on Instagram and Twitter, make sure you follow at Lloyd A. Thompson. Throw a couple of tweets at that man. Always likes to get into a little bit of discourse. Talk about what's going on in the sports world. And there's a lot of it. So we'll catch y'all in 7 days on a brand new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. Peace.